Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 99 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store today, and with me, as always, my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Baseball's back.
Woo!
We're here. Episode 99. And the lockout has ended. It's a great day to talk some baseball.
It's about time.
We can breathe a sigh of relief. There's going to be 162 game season. I'm surprised that no news has come out as we're recording this now at 8:30 p.m. on March the 10th, the day the lockout ended. I was just waiting. I was hoping we would break some news on here, but hadn't seen anything yet. But who knows? Maybe at some point during this pod, we'll get some good news. But yes, we are one episode away from episode 100 as well. So it's a happy time for baseball, happy time for the Fantrax Toolshed podcast. So very exciting time for sure.
It really is. I am so I can't even put into words how happy I am to have this stupid lockout done and we can finally finish the off season in the middle of March. We should already have spring training games going on, but hey, you know, we'll still get 162. Just a slightly different, little delayed start, a little delayed end, some more doubleheaders, but I'm just so excited and just waiting for that flurry of moves to happen. And I'm sure we'll have an episode discussing it all. Still a lot of huge names out there. Like, where does Freeman go? Where does Carlos Correa go? Chris Bryant, you know, Clayton Kershaw. So many big names still left unsigned. Cy Suzuki. See what my Red Sox do, what your Braves do. It's going to be a fun next couple of days. And by the time people are listening to this, maybe some of those guys have already signed. Who knows? Maybe it's a late night of moves here tonight on Thursday night here. So, but we have a fun episode today, a little bit different. We're going to review some of our recent industry leagues that we've done with three in particular. I do Raz Slam, TGFBI, and Tout. My Tout is still going on since I'm in the draft and hold. But we're over half. We're pushing like two thirds of the way there. So a lot of, you know, most of that draft's already done. But Chris's draft is already done. He finished Razzlam about a month and a half ago, it feels like. Your league was insane, dude. Like, you guys finished and everyone up the next highest was like, what, a little over halfway? Like,
yeah.
42 rounds. Next highest was like, I don't know, round 24. And you guys were done. It was just insane.
Yeah, no league was – somebody had a tracker. Like, no league was halfway done by the time we finished. It was really bizarre, and it was the fastest slow draft I've ever been in. Like, I just, like, looked away, and I was back on the clock. And I think we finished – so 42 rounds, 12 teams. We finished in a little over 4 days. I think we started on Monday. We finished, like, Saturday around lunchtime. So, you know, right at 5 days. That's kind of nuts.
Dude, I can't even imagine. Yeah, that literally probably is the fastest slow draft in the history of slow drafts. Yeah, we're going to break it all down. Before we get into that, though, the usual housekeeping here. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed. For extra content from both of us, and of course, check out all the other great work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our 2022 draft kit, and both Chris and I just dropped our updated prospect top 400 rankings this week. Chris, when you're listening to this yesterday, technically today, when we're recording this on Thursday, his top 400 OBP rankings, and I put mine out on Monday, so go check those out. A lot of fun rankings adjustments in there. But let's get right into it, Chris, and we will start with Raz Slam. And for those that aren't aware, aren't familiar with the Raz Slam format, it's a little different, and Mr. Clegg's going to break it all down for us now.
Yeah, so the Raz Slam format is a very different format, but it's a lot of fun. It is a modified NFBC cut line. So if you've never played a cut line, it's basically a best ball draft, but there are two fab periods in the contest. Basically, one is like a week after the season starts, and the other is in June. June 7th. So April 12th and June 7th. The first fab period will probably be adjusted, I guess, with the season, you know, being starting a week late. So, but still, you have a week. First fab period runs, and then you have your second fab period in June. But basically, what happens is you're in a league, and there's 12 teams. The normal cut line is actually 10 teams. But what you do in the cut line format, obviously it is a automatic system in the best ball format, but the top three teams from each league advance to the championship tier. So after a certain time period, it's so actually midway through the season, July 15th, it basically you're reseeded. So you have 12 teams in your league, top three from each league go to the championship tier. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth place teams go into the wild card tier. And then what happens from there is literally it's called a cut line because they just cut teams each period. So the periods run about 2 to 3 weeks where you are in the season. And basically it cuts down the first championship round, and then it cuts down to 30 teams. And then the final round is 10 teams before claiming a champion. So it's a lot of fun. It keeps you on your toes. And the cool thing is the point system is not exactly like you would think, where it's like, so once you get into the tiers, so there's the championship tier and then there's the wild card tier, basically not all of your points carry over. So you get points from that period, that the 2 to 3 week period of each of the playoff rounds, basically, but also like a portion of your points from the previous like season. So like are counted. So previous season total is factored in on top, but the most important thing is ultimately that round. So that 3 week round, that 3 week period. So it kind of plays like a head to head in that way. The scoring is a little different. It's not like your standard, I guess, best ball league. The league actually favors hitters pretty significantly, which we'll talk a little bit about how that affected my strategy. But here's the basic scoring. So hitting scoring, hitters at bat is minus 1 point. A hit's 4 points. A run is 2 points. Home run 6. RBI 2. And stolen base 5. And then you go to pitchers, and each inning pitched is 3 points. If you allow a hit, minus 1, an earned run, minus 2, you walk someone, it's minus 1, you get a strikeout, it's 1 point. A win is 6, and a save is 8. So it's kind of enticing. They try to gear the scoring be more geared towards like a standard roto league, but in a points format. But it actually does favor hitting a decent bit. But that certainly plays into people's strategy. It is a two-catcher league, like most NFBC. It's your standard NFBC roster there, where you have two catchers, a first, second, third baseman, and shortstop. You have a corner and middle infielder, 5 outfielders, a utility spot, and then 9 pitchers. And then the bench being 19 to get you to that 42-man roster. Very fun format, and I like Wrastlam because it involves industry people and also fans get into the league, or I guess not fans per se, but like readers and just normal fantasy players get in as well. It's a lot of fun. That's basically a brief overview of the whole league. Let's talk about our team. So what was your approach like going into the draft? Like, what did you set out to do from the beginning?
Yeah, so with it being more slanted towards hitting, as you mentioned, I wanted to establish a good core of hitters. But the way the board fell, I kind of adjusted that slightly on the fly. I ended up going... Actually, 3 of my first 5 were pitchers, but then I went very hitting after like the next 10 rounds. I only went 1 more pitcher after that. But some of the guys that were falling to me, I just kind of had to. And I was like, all right, I know this is more hitter friendly format, but let me establish like this like trio of like just dynamite arms, and then just fill a lot of hitters after that. So I was in the 8th spot here. I got Acuna as my first selection, which I'm feeling really good about. He's, obviously everything's been positive with Acuna. It looks like he's going to be ready. And the slight delay of, a week or so here to the start of the season only just helps him even that much more. Before that, it was Tatis, Turner, Vladdy, Joe Ram, Bichette, Soto, and Otani. So I took Acuna there. Then my next 4 rounds were Corbin Burns. Then I got Max Scherzer, Trevor Story, and then Sandy Alcantara. So I was like, all right, I got 3 of my top like 8 or so. Like, I'm obviously super high on Sandy Alcantara this year, maybe one of the highest. Me and George Montanez are really driving that train at this point this year. But so then after that, I went really hitter. Like I said, a lot of hitters after that. Only my next pitcher was Yu Darvish in the 10th, and then Gallen in the 14th. So, which I still like, those are both good values, I think. I said I got a lot of power speed early with Acuna and Story. Got my catcher early as well with Dalton Varsho in the 7th. I think it's my first Varsho share this year. Added in a little bit of Christian Yelich, Ty France, a couple guys I don't have a lot of shares of, but then filled it out from there. But yeah, decided to just change it up on the fly and get those three studs. So I'm happy with it. You know, some people said it may have been a little too pitcher heavy, but I like getting those three guys. These are guys that go deep. These are guys that get wins. These are guys that get strikeouts, you know, low ratios. So I think they'll play in this format. So I'm overall happy with my start here. Like, I'll give my top 10 were Acuna, Burns, Scherzer, Story, Contra, Bregman, Varsho, Yelich, France, and then you, Darvish. So that's how I started my draft here. How about you?
Yeah, and you mentioned that everybody wants to stack hitters, but I think it's so easy to exploit the pitching market.
Right.
And honestly, like, last year was the first year I did a cut line, and I did extremely well. Like, I was leading the championship bracket up until the final 2 weeks, and I went pitchers early. Like, I kind of exploited that. And I honestly, last year was more because I didn't know that hitters or that pitchers fell as much. I was just drafting the bell. Like, dang, this is good value.
Right.
I'm like, crap, no one's drafting pitchers. But it kind of worked out. So while the, in my opinion, while overall the hitters are more valuable, like, you look at the top hitter and they're going to score a lot more points than the top pitcher. Having the top pitcher is extremely valuable. And it's the same thing in a normal best ball format because of position scarcity. So having the top pitcher when you have to roster nine arms is so much more beneficial. And it's the same like a catcher. So catchers go really high in this cut line format. Like I think I saw Sal and Will Smith go in second and third rounds because of the position scarcity, and they're that much more valuable. Then you factor in having two catchers on the roster, and it kind of makes a big dent if you don't have a good catcher. So they go early. So I had the number two pick, and I went Trey Turner there. Fernando Tatis went off the board first, so it was pretty easy for me to pick Trey. As I mentioned, you look at how the points stack up there, and stolen bases are almost worth as much as home runs here. So it's six for home runs, five for stolen bases. So you look, if Trey Turner's a 30-30 type guy, there's a lot of points there. Not to mention 4 points for every hit. So Trey Turner produces a ton of hits, so a lot of value there. Follow that up with Walker Buehler at 23. I actually kind of wanted to go with – I missed Corbin Burns by one spot. He went 22nd, so that was tough. I really, really thought I was getting Burns. And
that would have been great.
Yeah, I was prepared to start Trey and Burns, which would have been awesome. But shout out to Bob Osgood, who is freaking sniping me in relegation right now, left and right. And he was drafting next to me in Raslim as well. So I was chatting with him. He said we need to co-draft a team because we think so similarly, apparently, because we kept literally just sniping each other like all day. So yeah, that was frustrating, but Bob really killed that and killed me in a way, because I was sitting here like, man, it's happening. Like, Cole went early. Cole actually went fifth overall. Then no one took a pitcher until Burns went 22nd. I really thought I was getting him. So I went Buehler. There's a lot of depth in the arm. He's going to throw a lot of innings, not the high strikeout upside. Obviously would have wanted Burns there, but Buehler will provide solid points totals there. And then I followed that up in the third round, 26th overall, with Teoscar Hernandez. Again, looking at a power speed threat here that is still a solid average. I like getting Teoscar there as well. Went back to the hitter well in the fourth round with Byron Buxton. Power speed, kind of risky. It was at 47 overall. But again, if everything clicks right, Buxton's first round talent, and I just felt the value was good there.
It's going to happen at some point, right? It's going to happen.
Yeah, you think. I mean, it's probably going to happen when everybody's completely out on him and he's going to pick 300. But yeah, it could happen. It could bust, but I do still like that potential return on investment there, especially you look at some of the hitters that are going before him, and you know the power speed in Buxton's really undeniable. Went Shane Bieber at 50. DeGrom went the pick before at 49, which I'm not sure I would have taken DeGrom over Bieber. The injuries still concern me, and a couple other pitchers have begun to go off the board at that point. So I mentioned Cole went at 5, Burns went 22nd. I took Buehler at 23. Woodruff went 27th. Zach Wheeler, 38. Max Scherzer, 45. Obviously, Scherzer probably would have been my target because I think he's easily a top 3-4 arm this year. But
agreed.
He went off right before I took Buxton. And then, I at pick 50 went Bieber. DeGrom went right before that. Julio Urias went at 53. I don't know. I still prefer Bieber there because of innings. I'm not sure. And everybody's concerned, but I'm not really concerned. Bieber's shown in the past that he can go full seasons over and over and over. The strikeout stuff's there. He's 100% healthy. I'm not really worried about it personally. So Bieber at 50 feels like really, really good value there. So we drop on down to the sixth round, and I also took Dalton Varsho. Nice. I was just praying really, really hard because at that point, catchers had gone extremely early. And like I said, it's important to have it. Sal Perez went 17th. Will Smith went 30th. JT Realmuto went 42nd. So they were going early. And then Grandal, obviously, is a big target in this format because OBP skills. He went 59th. So literally, I set on it and was hoping Varsho is my fifth catcher ranked in this format. So I set on it for 10 picks, praying he would get there. I thought Bob would snipe me because that's what he'd been doing all day. But 71st pick, Dalton Varsho. And then at 74 went Nolan Arenado. Third base, just really, really weak. Bregman had gone much earlier. Some other high-end targets had gone off the board. And Nolan Arenado is, I think, a solid play in this format as well. And, you know, it's for what it's worth, Anthony Rendon went 77th. And I'd much rather have Arenado than Rendon.
Agreed.
So filling out third base is important. So I did that there. Let's see, going down the board, that was seventh round, Arenado. Eighth round went Dylan Cease, 95th overall, like a lot of upside there. That's the kind of arm that I like in this format because Cease has a lot of elite outings and some bad ones too. But in best ball, the bad ones are just thrown out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect right. your team. So you get the elite outings that really benefit your team each week, and the bad ones just don't matter. So Cease is a great target in a best ball format if you're still drafting a best ball. He's the kind of player that I'm targeting. So I had three pitchers at that point. Went back to the hitting well at 98 overall. Ninth round, Christian Yelich, who I think is a reasonable bounce back. Good OBP skills. I think the power does come back to an extent. So Yelich at 98 was a good value. Then 10th round, I went with Jake Cronenworth. The thing about NFBC best ball is there's multi-position eligibility versus on Fantrax, it's just one position. And the nice thing is when you have a player like Cronenworth who's three positions, it almost frees up two roster spots for you to use elsewhere because you have to fill out and balance the roster in this kind of best ball format. And you have to have depth at every position. But with getting Cronenworth, you have that depth at three positions. So you get the first base, short, and second all covered. Like he can fill in any one of those on any given week if he's the highest scorer at that position, which I think is really nice. And multi-position guys really get pushed in this format. So getting Cronenworth near his normal ADP felt like pretty good value here. So I'm not the biggest Cronenworth fan in the world, but I do think he's a decent points league play. And plus the multi-position is really effective here in this format. So those are my first 10 rounds. You kind of want to just read off how the rest of our team went after that.
Yeah, for sure. And I echo a lot of what you said there. I've got Christian Yelich as well and Dalton Varsho, Bregman for the OBP. So yeah, we're definitely in that same line of thinking. And I got some multi-position guys as well. Ty France, who I got in the ninth round. And then I got, obviously, Darvish in the 10th. Rest of my team here, I got Chris Taylor in the 11th. Obviously, second short outfield. That's a little bit of everything. So I think Taylor's just extremely undervalued this year in general. Joey Gallo, who I got only because of OBP and the power there. So I think that's...
What pick?
That was 12th round. So we're talking 132, like 137 or so.
Yeah, that's pretty good considering the format.
Yeah. I thought so. I usually never get Gallo. And it also did help that right before me, I forget who it was, but Jared Kelenic went right before that pick. So I was very upset about that. I keep getting sniped on Kelenic. People just like to do it to me. I don't know why. But rest of the 13 through 20 rounds here, got Yoan Moncada. So I got some nice third base depth there behind Alex Bregman. Gallon is my SP5. Back to that, but Travis d'Arnaud is my second catcher. I wanted to secure, get two of the top, my top 12, 13 catchers or so. So I don't have to worry about it later on. Then with Eugenio Suarez, who I'm surprisingly having more shares of than I thought I would. But the power is nice. I think there's a bounce back with the average. He's actually dual eligible, third and short. So that's really nice as well. Andrew Benintendi, Logan Gilbert, Frankie Tanky, Schwindel, round 19. Got a closer here, Blake Treinen in round 20. Grubby Grossman, which I thought was great value, good OBP guy, power, speed. round 21. I think that was really good value. Gavin Lux, 22, 23. This is probably one I would like back because I think this was right before the news broke that he's kind of behind schedule, and I got Lance McCullers, so we'll see. It could work out great, might not. 24, Harrison Bader, I like that. Nice OBP, power speed guy as well. Huascar Ulloa, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, which looks really good now. I think this was right after the Josh Young news broke. So I like that for some speed there. Rest of the way, Lamonte Wade Jr., Cal Quantrill, Rowdy Tellez, love Rowdy, got a lot of shares of him this year. Adbert Alzale, Tony Kemp, who's second and outfield eligible. I think he's a good pick in in that range, round 31. Rich Hill, Ha-Seong Kim, multi-position eligibility there as well. Luis Torrens as my third catcher. Alex Reyes, Andres Jimenez, Matt Manning, Grayson Rodriguez, Josh Lowe, who I think if they do trade Kevin Kiermaier, Tampa Bay, which has been rumored they might, Josh Lowe is going to be a guy you're going to want to have in your team. I'm just going to say that. Josh Lowe is very, very good. I did our little profile on him on our Patreon. Then I rounded it out last three rounds. Nick Lodolo, who I hope is up soon. Cole Calhoun and Mike Miner. So overall, I like it. If I had to give myself a grade, I'd say a B. I don't love it, but I think this is a team that could contend and last late into the season. Love my pitching here. I've got a lot of good power speed, some good OBP, a lot of multi-position eligibility guys. So it gives me some flexibility throughout the season, especially if I have some injuries. Overall, I'm a fan of this team. Well, I think I can do some damage with this team. But how about you? How did you finish out your team here?
Yeah, so followed up the 11th through 15th rounds with Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, Gleyber Torres, Luis Garcia, and that is the Astros, Luis Garcia. There's several, followed by Jorge Soler in the 15th. And then I went 16 through 20 with Anthony Rizzo, Charlie Blackman, Harrison Bader, Anthony Descofani, and Aaron Civale. So really hitting the pitching depth in the 10th through 20 rounds. And then, let's see, 21 through 25, Carson Kelly became my catcher two. So I kind of had to, at that point, I had Varsho, who I feel good about. Kelly, I think, gets a decent amount of plate appearance. So I have both Arizona catchers, and you think with Varsho's in center field, Kelly will be back there. So I do think that Kelly gets a bulk. So I knew at that point I still had to get another catcher. So I did address that within these next few picks. I got Brandon Nimmo, 263 in the 22nd round.
That's good value right there. OBP.
Yep. And he should be leading off for that Mets team, which is a really, really good lineup. He's going to score a ton of runs.
He's need to stay healthy. I was actually looking at him earlier today or yesterday, and OBP right over 400 each of the last 2 years. It's just I think he's got like 80, it was like mid 80s runs combined over the last 2 years and like 135 ish games. So just stay healthy and he can score over 100 easily.
Yeah, that's really the biggest thing is just his health. 23rd round, I took He Who Shall Not Be Named, a pitcher for the Dodgers. You can guess who that is, but I do feel good about him throwing some significant innings. So it's 266. It's hard to pass up there. This is fantasy baseball we're talking about here and drafting his stats. And then I mentioned another catcher, James McCann at 24th round, 287 overall, followed by Nick Madrigal in the 25th round. Then went Mike Moustakas in the 26th, Drew Rasmussen, 27th. Luis Torrens, so that rounded out my four catchers. So I feel like four catchers gives you a pretty good base here. So Luis Torrens, 28th round, Corey Kluber, 29th round, and Paul DeJong, 30th round. And I just need to note, because I'm drafting Paul DeJong in every draft, he's reworked his swing with the same swing coach that fixed JD Martinez, that has fixed a ton of elite hitters. So I am all in on Paul DeJong at his price. I think that no one else is, unless they go sign a shortstop, he's going to get plenty of plate appearances. There's good power there. He's shown he can hit for a decent average in the past. I'm counting on a rebound. Lorenzo Cain in the 31st round, like, come on. That dude is still going to be a 15-15 player, and the points are definitely there in the home run speed categories here, which is huge. Reed Detmers, 383. 32nd round, Bobby Bradley, 33rd round, JD Davis in the 34th round, Rougned Odor, 35th round. Yeah, that's a fun pick right there. Then I hit some pitchers that I like to break out this year. Mitch Keller in the 36th, Tyler Beattie in the 37th, But then a boring Cole Irvin in the 38th hit some breakouts and prospects to finish out. Bradley Zimmer in the 39th, Ranzi Contreras 40th, Luis Hill in the 41st, and Spencer Howard to round out the draft with the 42nd round pick. So, yeah, this was a fun draft. I do like this format a lot. It's a ton of fun. So if you have the chance to do a cut line, I'd suggest doing it. Read up. There's some good articles out there. FTN has one. If I'm not mistaken, I think Matty Wood wrote it, a good cut line primer so you can understand the format. And it really helps you because it's different. It really is different than any other format you play. So fun one. I'm looking forward to Raslam and, you know, those two cut lines in the fab period. So it's a lot of fun.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It definitely is. And it's going to be interesting to see how our teams split out. I like your team as well. So I think this could be a couple of good teams for us this year. We'll see. All right. Let's take a quick break, though. We'll come back on the other side and talk a little TGFBI and some touts. So we'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Fantrax Toolshed right after this.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back. Let's go TGFBI next. Mine just concluded yesterday. How did you end up liking it? Just in general, over sense, Chris. How did you end up liking your TGFBI team? Obviously different. This has fab moves throughout the season, 30 rounds, so you can afford to, you know, fix your team when you need to throughout the year. But what were your overall thoughts of how your team looked after your draft year?
I don't know. I'm like sometimes like more critical of myself than I need to be in my drafts. So it's tough. I like it. I was picking out the fourth spot, which, I got Jose Ramirez in the first round, which obviously like that a lot. I did draft Josh Hader early to get a good, base of saves, which I do think is important. But overall, I do think that I'm going to have to address closer through the fab. But overall, I think it can be a good team. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, TGFBI is always fun. As you mentioned, it brings everyone in the industry together, and it's just a great time of community with everybody in this industry. So Justin Mason obviously does a great job putting that on. But yeah, in a general sense, like I like my team, but I'm not like, wow, like that, like I knocked that draft out of the park.
Yeah, you like your team a lot.
I don't know. It's
you could be honest. If you like your team a lot, you like your team a lot. That's not a shame in saying that.
I know, but it's just all, you always have that little bit of hesitation. Because right. Like, you know, you don't want to be like overhyped on it. So it'd be interesting to see there's when we go through the picks, there's a couple things I'll mention that could be good or could be bad. We'll see. I definitely regret not getting a catcher early. I tried to, but they just kept going before me. So catcher really sucks, but we can discuss that a little bit as we talk about the teams.
Yeah, I ended up I got another share of Darno here as my second catcher. Nice. So my two catchers were, I got Grandal and Darno this time. So two catchers that again, two of my top 15 or so there. Grandal's top five for me. I was in the 11th spot. I every draft I'm in like the back half of. I haven't had like a top five pick in forever. I don't know what it is this year. I think last year I got a lot of early picks. I think this year, I guess it's just adjusting and I'm getting all the back end picks, but yeah. which I don't mind. I liked it a little bit more when I could get like Ronald Acuna at pick 11, 12, 13. Right. Now he's going like 7, 8, 9 more so. He went 9 in this one. So I had pick 11. This is 15-teamer. Michael Govier was in this one. Tim McLeod. Some good people in my TGFBI league here. I started out with Bryce Harper at 11. Love Bryce Harper. He's a stud. I also got a lot of good pitching early. Like I went pitchers, three of my first six picks. Got Walker Buehler in the second. Sandy Alcantara. Again, I'm just getting all the shares of Sandy I can in the third. And he was like the 12th or so pitcher off the board. So I thought that was really good value. He went behind Hader and Urias and Nola. So I think I got a good value there with him. Also got Lindor in the fourth, who I like in the fourth round. I think he's fine there. Let's pick 50 on the dot. So I'm fine taking him there, even though I've been kind of critical of him in the past. I think that's good value. Eloy Jimenez in the fifth. Logan Webb in the sixth. I think he was like the 23rd or 24th arm off the board, if I remember correctly. And I have Logan Webb as my SP 12 or 13 for this year. He went behind Manoa, Dylan Cease, Jack Flaherty, Luis Castillo, Musgrove, Fried, Lance Lynn, all arms that I really like, but I have him ranked ahead of all of them. So I was ecstatic to get Logan Webb as my SP 3, three of my top 12 or 13 arms, three guys that I consider aces for this year. So I felt good about that. Rounded out top 10 here. Yasmani Grandal, DJ LeMahieu, who I think is a nice little bounce back this year. That was in round 8. So we're talking us pick 110. So I think solid value. He's got multi-position eligibility. I think he's a bounce back this year once he's healthy. Then I went a trio of pitchers, two closers. Got my Craig Kimbrel, hoping, praying he gets traded. Like I put out a tweet earlier. I was like, some of my six things I want for the rest of the offseason for moves to be made. Like I want Craig Kimbrel to be dealt because I have a lot of Kimbrel shares this year. And I want the Dodgers to not bring in a big name closer because I have a lot of Blake Treinen shares as well. And I got him two rounds later in round 11 with Tyler Molly sandwiched in between them. Got a little Alex Kirilloff here in the 12th. Colton Wong, very underrated guy, a little power speed, hitting high in that Milwaukee order. So I think he's very underrated for this year. Conforto, nice bounce back, I think, coming from him. Frank Schundel, another guy I've gotten a lot of. Travis d'Arnaud, Oscar Inoa, Jesus Sanchez, nice breakup potential there. The 18th, and then I'll do the rest of my team here. Jesus Luzardo at round 20. Love Luzardo. We've talked about that ad nauseum, including with Nick Pollock on the last episode. Tony Gonsolin, another guy I love a lot. J.P. Crawford, Steven Strasburg. So a little risk there with those three, but I think with the base I established earlier on with my pitching, I think I could take a little bit of risk there. So Strasburg was 23rd. I went Nico Hoerner, Tyrone Taylor, Jose Barrero on the 26th. Nick Pivetta, Kyle Gibson. So guys that are a little safer, just kind of good innings guys there. 27th, 28th round. Pavin Smith, who I oddly have a lot of shares of. I keep finding myself driving Pavin Smith for some odd reason. I don't even like Pavin Smith that much, but I got a lot of shares of him. And then ended it with a Rowanzi Contreras, so I hope that makes the Pittsburgh rotation because it's terrible and he should make it. So overall, I felt pretty good with my team. How'd your draft go?
As I mentioned, the fourth slot starting out, I loved getting Jose Ramirez in that spot, filling third base early and getting a power speed threat who's just so consistent. That's the thing. He's so consistent year over year. And yeah, you may not be starting the team with like an elite batting average, but that's okay. Like Jose Ramirez is going to get the job done. And shoot, I wish the shift was being banned this year because Jose Ramirez is highly affected by the shift. So if that was out this year, then this pick would look even better. But I followed up second round, Starling Marte. The speed base here is really high at this point. Going back, you know, it'd be interesting. I'm not sure if I would make this pick again, but again, how the board fell, and I didn't love any of these picks really. I debated between Yordan and Starling Marte like over and over and over. That was the two really that were there. I mean, like Tim Anderson went right before me. Obviously, filling out shortstop is good early as well. All the pitchers had gone. So for me at that point, it was either take Yordan or Starling Marte. And I went Marte just from the speed standpoint. Like now you have a solid base of probably at least 50 to 60 stolen bases between Ramirez and Marte. And Jose provides enough power to really balance out Marte there. Followed up in the third with Josh Hader. Hendricks went I knew it was time. I wanted to get an early closer, so I did. The goal was really to get an early closer and early catcher, two catcher format, and I missed the catcher, but I did get the closer. I got Josh Hader, 34th feels early, but needed a solid base of saves there. Robbie Ray fell to 57 in the fourth round, so that was my first starting pitcher. I don't love Ray as much as most, but I do think he's going to still be providing solid ratios and high in strikeouts. So Ray is my SP1 to balance out with Hader. And you'll see I have a pick later after this one. So I took Randy Arozarena in the fifth. Again, we're looking at a pick where the speed base of all three of my hitters provide stolen bases. Randy's not the biggest power hitter, but again, power's easy to find later. I fill it out later with power hitters, so we're okay. Max Fried in the sixth. Perfect complement to Robbie Ray, in my opinion. 87th overall, Max Fried. Just insanity. Max Fried is a high floor pitcher that's going to provide good ratios and about a strikeout an inning. Robbie Ray is going to provide elite strikeouts, and even if the ratios aren't there, him and Fried balance out extremely well. Seventh round went Kettle Marte to fill second base. Every time he's on the field, that's the question on the field, but you know, good batting average, good power, so I like Kettle there. Mitch Haniger, he's fallen in all of my drafts, and I don't get it. I wasn't prepared to take him. He fell to 117, eighth round, another out. He was my third outfielder, so I went there. Zach Gallen in the ninth is my SP3, and Gleyber Torres is my shortstop. This is something I do regret because shortstop falls off a cliff. I really, really wanted Willy Adames. Went one pick before me.
Oh,
I was more than prepared to take Adames, and I thought it was going to happen. I was sitting there prepared. So here's the problem. So I was going to do it, and I was in the fourth pick, so I didn't have many picks for it. I had six picks between me at the turn. I took Haniger at 117, and I was looking. I said, all right, the three teams between me all have shortstops. So I was like, Adames is going to come back. Like, people aren't going to fill a middle infield yet, and Haniger was the best value on the board. So this is where game theory comes in, and I can tell you that I regret, even though Haniger was the best value on the board here, like I needed Adames more, so I should have taken Adames there instead of hoping he would make it back those six picks, even with those three teams in between me all having shortstops. So took Haniger. Unfortunately, Adames went. Like, he was the guy I was prepared to take there. He's the last of a tier, but end up with Gallen, that pick after I mentioned. Gleyber Torres is my shortstop. Don't love that, but I think he should be in for a bounce back. Then the Max Muncy news had come out, and everybody was like, well, he hasn't started swinging yet. But what no one realized was that interview that Muncy did where he said he was starting to begin swinging was in January. The news came out, but Muncy said in January that he was going to start swinging soon. I think he's been swinging. I think he's fine, honestly. So I took him at 148 as my first baseman. Sorry, 154, 11th round as my first baseman. Muncy, elite power. He can return easy top 100 value if healthy. Then I went Marcelo Ozuna. So power, I mentioned, it's easy to find late. Ozuna provides power at 177, hard to pass up. 13th round, Luis Severino. I think Severino's going to be pitching at least 150 innings, and he's an ace when he pitches. So Severino in the 13th round, followed by Brandon Belt in the 14th, filling out the corner spot. Once again, I mentioned power. Belt is going to be a huge beneficiary of the DH. Hopefully it helps him to stay healthy. Big power here in his profile. This is where it gets a little dicey because I went Joe Barlow in the 15th. I don't know if Barlow is the closer. Texas could go out and sign somebody. I hope that he's a closer. I think he could be a closer, but at this point, most closers had gone out the window, so I did take Barlow there. First catcher, Elias Diaz in the 16th. I'm intrigued by Diaz a little bit in Colorado, but again, I missed catcher early. This is kind of what you deal with in that place, so I kind of got stuck with Diaz. John Gray, another one I'm getting a lot of. Gray going around pick 250, hard to pass up there, so I got Gray at 244. Anthony Santander at 267. Herman Marquez at 274. This seems silly. Marquez is a huge innings eater. Like, while he's in a Colorado pitcher, sure, but he's not bad. At this pick price, he's going to throw at least 180 innings. This is worth having. In a weekly league format, you can choose to sit him because how far down he is on my roster. Don't feel bad. I took Gary Sanchez in the 20th. I don't love my two-catcher situation personally with Diaz and Sanchez. That's probably the biggest meh, but We'll finish out the last 10 rounds pretty quickly. Went Andrew McCutchen, Cesar Hernandez in the middle infield, Steven Strasburg, Ha-Seon Kim, Patrick Corbin, Jorge Alcala, Sam Hilliard, Bobby Bradley, Josh Stelmount, and Bradley Zimmer rounding it out. And that was my 30-round TGFBI team.
Nice little Bradley Zimmer to end it off the draft there. And a little power speed. That's a nice pick.
Got him in at the end of Rasslam too. So he's a guy. I think in worst case, if he's your last pick, you drop him. Like, who cares?
Exactly. He's off to a hot start. Great. If you have a cold start, you drop him and you get a free agent off the wire. So
exactly.
Nice end to your draft there. I like your team a lot too. So move on. We'll finish out with tout. So obviously a lot of different tout leagues out there, all different. I am in the tout draft and hold. So 50 rounds, DC style there. Chris, you're in
12 team mixed, but it's modified. Mixed. It's a 5x5, but OBP instead of average, innings pitched instead of win, and saves and holds instead of save. So it's a completely different format, and it's a lot of fun. It changes the draft board pretty dramatically, honestly, which is a lot of fun. So, and this was a live draft. This is the only live draft I've done all year. Minute pick clock. That was really intense when you're in a room with elite tout.
Absolutely. My first live draft, and it'll literally be live, is it'll be in person, is Nerf on Sunday night. Nice. We're making a 2.5-ish hour drive down to meet everybody down in Waltham, Massachusetts, which is kind of near Boston a little bit. So it'd be nice to see everybody. I'll probably be meeting my former podcast co-host Jake Devereaux for the first time. So that'll be fun to finally meet Jake. Jeff Ponce is in that league, and Chris Baseball Pods, many, many others. So yeah, my tout league was obviously loaded too. All the tout leagues are, like, Matt Williams, Toby Gervin, bat flip, Toby, that one. Fred Zinke, James Anderson, Vlad Sedler, Mike Sheets, Nando DeFino. It's just so many great names. Michael Florio as well. I got, again, late pick. I was in the turn at pick 15. And this year I wanted to establish a safer core than I had in years past. Last year, my first year in tout, where I was in the top four for first half of the season. Even I was in first for a little bit, and then injuries happened, didn't have the players to fill in. I went too prospect heavy later on. That really bit me. I just had some empty spots some weeks. I couldn't fill with anybody that was actually active. So that really bit me. So I ended up falling down to like 10th or 11th overall last year out of 15. So wanted to try to avoid that. So at the turn, we won't go through every single pick here, but I'm still in round 20, about to do the 27-28 turn. So a little over halfway, and I'm probably going to be taking Pavin Smith here in a minute as I'm on the deck here. Pavin Smith's near the top of my queue. But I started off with Shohei Ohtani, who is this hitter and pitcher in this. So yeah, hitter Ohtani there, and then Luis Robert. So nice little, maybe Robert's a little risky there, but big power speed left in both those guys. I got a lot of speed here. I got Whit Merrifield in the third. I got Javier Baez in the eighth. It's OBP as well, so that's why he fell to the eighth. Tommy Edman later on, Brian Hayes. So I got a good score of speed there. Also, my pitchers, I went Chris Sale in the fourth, Logan Webb in the fifth, Alek Manoah in the seventh. I got Treinen again. I got so many Treinen shares. Don't sign a closer, Los Angeles, for the love of God. Don't sign a closer. My other closer so far is Gregory Soto. Also got Michael Kopech, some John Gray, Aaron Ashby, Strasburg, and Taiwan Walker. I got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa again. Just love that cheap speed late. I don't think people are kind of his. I don't think his ADP is really adjusted as much as I thought it would after the news of Josh Jung being out for the next like 5-6 months. So he's a nice speed guy. Got him in the 22nd round, so pick 315 or so. A little bit of Andrew Vaughn, Lane Thomas, more Frank Schwindel in there as well. Two catchers, Alejandro Kirk and Max Stassi, who I got later on in the 21st round. Who else I got in there? Mitch Haniger, Alec Bregman for some OBP. So I like my team overall. I feel a lot better about this team than I did about last year's team. So I think this is, And I'll probably get some prospects mixed in here, but I'm still trying to fill out and get a lot of guys that I can plug in. Like, I just got Ha-Seong Kim last round. I've got some Brendan Marsh as well. So I'm still trying to get that nice depth before I start taking chances on prospects later. So like I said, that did bite me last year. So do like the team overall. How about you? How did your draft go?
Yeah. So I mentioned, live, you had to be on the ball and you had to be ready at all times. And, you know, for the most part, like, I felt that I was well prepared at every pick, even though Chris Towers was at the turn. He picked first, so he was at the turn. I was near him. And I feel like every time I was ready to take a player, he would go, Towers would take him like two or three picks early. I thought I was out of the five spots. It's funny, you keep getting the back end, I keep getting the front end of drafts. OBP format, obviously the draft board goes a little bit differently. The hitters went off the board first, in order of Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez. And at that point, I really thought that I was going to get Trey Turner at the five spot. I didn't, and Turner went fourth to Jeff Bogus, and I ended up taking Garrett Cole. Not my normal way to go, but with the innings pitched instead of wins, I think the innings is important. So building a stack of innings early is huge with good ratios, and Cole provides that. So I took Cole first overall, and then come back around, I took Ozzie Albies at 20 overall, the second round pick, which is interesting. Albies isn't a huge OBP guy, but at that point, the power speed had really come off the board. And so filling out second base was obviously a priority to me, and I can fill out the power later. Again, I was prepared to go elsewhere, but my dudes kept going off the board. I took Matt Olson in the third, followed by Lucas Giolito in the fourth. And then when the catcher started going after TGFBI and even Raslan, where I didn't get a top catcher in this format, I was going to do that. I was bound and determined to. Real Muto went in the fourth. Sal Perez went in the fourth. I got Will Smith in the fifth at 53 overall. In OBP, I genuinely think Smith is catcher one. Sal Perez has terrible OBP skills. Real Muto, while he is solid OBP, I just really think Will Smith's going to get a huge benefit from the DH in Los Angeles. He's going to get way more plate appearances. His OBP skills are really good. His power's there. So C1, Will Smith at 53 overall. Went Joe Musgrove, my dude, in the sixth. Like, I'm all over Musgrove this year. His value's really good. Yelich in the seventh. He does get a little OBP boost for me. Brian Reynolds in the eighth. Again, why are we letting Brian Reynolds fall down in the 90s?
He shouldn't.
He's so good. And yeah, he's obviously a plus in batting average, but he's a plus in OBP too. I mean,
yeah, he's a 380 OBP guy. That's really good.
Yeah. And he 25 home runs with a 380 OBP, five steals. Like, give me that all day. Yeah,
good counting stats as well. Like, I think people just like see that he's on Pittsburgh. Like, every Pittsburgh guy is underrated because, oh, it's Pittsburgh. And yeah, I get it. But he's the hit in the middle, you know, hitting third. You know, he's have Cruz and Cabrian Hayes. Like, that's not a bad, like, top four in the order.
He scored 95 runs and drove in like 94 last year without Hayes, without Cruz. It was just him.
Yep.
There's no reason he can't do it again. So the counting stats are there. This was a pick. Then my next pick in the ninth round, I was praying because third base was falling off hard. I got Chris Bryant, who I don't love, but he's a good OBP asset, continually 360 or more, solid power, chipping a few steals too. Here's the thing. At this point, I have missed out on stolen bases hard other than Albies. So go down the list. I've got Albies at 15 and 20 steals, Matt Olson a zero, Will Smith a zero, Yelich, I'm hoping for 10. Reynolds, I'm hoping 5. Bryant, hoping 5 to 10. I've got a chip away somewhere. I'm not drafting a Miles Straw type. So I got Trent Grisham in the 10th round. Grisham's a good OBP asset. He fell to 116, which is where he's going in an average league, but his OBP skills are 350 plus consistently. If he gives me 20-20, I'll be happy. Followed by Tyler Molly. Thinking he's going to throw plenty of innings. And this is where the hitters in this range just kind of were meh. So I went Molly in the 11th, Eduardo Rodriguez in the 12th, and Luis Garcia in the 13th. And at this point, shortstop I've whiffed on. And that's the problem. Like, everybody thinks shortstop stacked, which it is, but it bottoms out so quick. And if you don't get one of the high-end shortstops, then you're really, really screwed. So I reached a bid on Luis Urias at 164, but Urias is a good OBP asset, and we may have not seen his best. I think he went 23 home runs, 5 steals last year. I think we could see more. He's a good OBP asset. So Urias isn't the worst case. He's also got multi-position. Another common theme you'll see here, got Marcell Ozuna again because he's going so late. I think I have him on every team, Raslam, TGFBI, and this tout team. Harrison Bader in the 16th. Give me a little power speed there. Sonny Gray in the 17th at 197. Bobby Dalbec in the 18th for the fill out that corner spot. Eduardo Escobar in the 19th for a middle infield slot, followed by Taylor Rogers. And this is in the saves and holds format. I'm not paying up early. Some of the like Hader Hendricks types, they went early. Not like in, I think all of them went after pick 50, but they were still going too high for my likings. So my decision was that if a solid closer that would post decent ratios fell, I would draft them, but also get the elite holds guys. And for Taylor Rogers, in my opinion, his elite ratios and strikeouts, it doesn't matter if he's a closer or not because he's going to get plenty of saves and holds. So Rogers in the 20th, Jesus Sanchez at 245 in the 21st, a silly value. This is where I probably reached a little bit because I got – so I'm following a SGP value that I created with a bunch of different rankings, and Hector Neris really popped when I put in these settings. And so I was like, shoot, Neris is like really high valued with holds in Houston. Like, this is great. I probably jumped him a little early in the 22nd round at 260, but again, we're getting towards the end game of draft. Just went with it. Mike Zunino in the 23rd as my catcher two. It's okay. I don't love it. OBP is not great, but there's power here. Jesus Luzardo, 284. Like, come on. This value is just getting silly at this point with Luzardo. Andrew McCutchen, a good OBP asset, 293. Andrew Kittredge, 308 overall, 26th round. Then I wrapped it up with Hunter Dozier, multi-position there, first, third, outfield. Paul DeJong in the 28th, and last pick, Luke Jackson, to give me a fourth reliever there. So that was my tout wars draft, and he made some mistakes along the way in the fast draft. But overall, I probably like this team better than I do my TGFBI team, honestly.
Nice. Yeah, that seemed like it was a pretty solid team there. These were a lot of fun. All these industry leagues are always a good time. Drafting with all of our buddies and people that we admire and work with in the industry. So it's always fun doing these drafts. Like, so my tout draft mode is still ongoing. I'll let everybody know how that wraps up. Still got another 24 rounds to go, so probably another week of that. If this was Chris's wrestling, they'd finish this in 55 minutes or so. But it's a lot of fun. Hopefully this was a nice little fun episode. You know, talked a little bit of players, some strategy and different types of formats. So a little bit of everything in this episode. That will wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ, our Patreon, or at Fantasy Pros as well. And join us again next time for episode 100. We've got a great guest lined up. But until then, everyone take care.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.